How many got your Bible? Say amen. Amen. Turn to 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verses number 36 through 46. It is good to be out to God's house. It's good to be saved. How many can wave at me and say it's good to be saved? Amen. Friday, I was saved 47 years Friday. Married 46 years to the most wonderful wife in the world. And I thank God for her. And I do want to say to you ladies, you do not want to miss the ladies' Bible study. We have a textbook that's coming. Paul Chappell wrote the textbook. It's on a stewarding life. Now, ladies, you know that your life, there's a lot to put into it. And it's a stewarding life. It's going to be here. We got the textbook, should be here tomorrow. And you'll have a workbook. It's especially for ladies, and we want you to be here. Now, Chad mentioned the food preparation. I want you to cook your favorite Italian dish. It'll be Italian Day. Now, once a month, we're going to have food, but this theme is Italian theme. Now, the drinks and the Italian bread and garlic bread, we'll make that. You just bring your favorite dish, and it's going to be in the multipurpose room there. We're looking for a great time in the Lord. Now, this morning's been an eventful morning. I got to talk to Mrs. Justine McAllister. Justine and Nello was here when I came. They've been a faithful friends. I remember when I was a young preacher and had no friends. They had me at their house every Sunday, and Miss Ruby Stickler would fix me a meal, me and Miss Marguerite, my two little kids. And I want to tell you, it touched my heart. Julie, you remember it. And the funeral will be at Chapman Funeral Home. We'll let you know more about that as the week goes. But I want you to pray. And I want you to pray for me. We're getting ready to go to revival Sunday. And God has put something on me. Strong. And I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to be strong preaching. And not, this sermon ain't just for Sunday morning. It's a Sunday night sermon. And I'm preaching it Wednesday night. When I stepped up in the pulpit, don't get your hearts troubled. I've got 26 pages of notes. Don't die on me. But I got three sermons on one theme. America needs revival. Can I say it again? America needs revival. But ladies and gentlemen, if America's going to have revival, it's not going to start at the White House. It's not going to start with a bunch of crony congressmen. It's going to start in the house of God. Revival needs to come to God's house. It's going to start with you, ma'am. It's going to start with you, sir. It's going to start with you, young person. Not my brother, not my sister, but me, oh Lord, stands in the need of prayer. Amen. So with that said, turn to 1 Kings chapter number 18. And I'm going to use this Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Now don't stay home for the Super Bowl. Don't start to 6:30 and we start at 5. Won't you give the devil a black eye and be at church tonight? Amen. 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 By the way, the 49ers are going to win 30-23. 30-23. This is one time I'm making a prediction that I hope I'm wrong. And I'm doing it that way because if I'm wrong, my team will get in, and that's Kansas City. Don't worry about the Super Bowl. You know what we want? We all want to have a Super Sunday. We want to meet with a Super God. We want to fellowship with Him this morning. Whew. 1 Kings 18, are you there? Say amen. Go to verse 36. I'll read down to the end of the chapter. And I have one little theme that I'm going to preach three messages on. How much I get is just how the Holy Ghost works in each message. The Bible said it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near. and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art a God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that thou hast done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people might know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their back again. Here's the theme. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Let me say it again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, I think I'll stop my reading here. They fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. We know that God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, and God blessed him and changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And God, he said, I'll bless this nation. And he blessed Isaac, and he blessed Jacob. And by the way, I'm glad I'm serving a God that still blesses. Then Israel, just like us, they couldn't satisfy with good enough. Then they begged for a king and clamored for a king. And they got a king. His name was Saul. By the way, he failed miserably. He was a miserable king. Oh, he looked good on the outside. Oh, he had a fair countenance. But ladies and gentlemen, just like a lot of religion and a lot of Christianity today, it looks good on the outside, but it's lacking something. It's lacking the power of God. It's lacking the fire of God. It's lacking the move of God. He had a son named Solomon who had problems. And you know his problems. Even at the end of his life, he said, all his vanity and vexation of the spirit. He went after strange women. And he lost sight of God. After Solomon, the nation was divided into 10 northern kingdoms called Israel and 2 southern called Judah. And by most part, most of the kings are wicked kings. There was a man named Jeroboam was raised up. And I'm going somewhere, stay with me. Who took worship from Jerusalem, Jeremy, and took it down to Dan and Bethel and made strange gods. I tell you, we're living in a time of a resurgence of idolatry. Even in our country, people got their little gods and they carried their little gods. But I want to tell you what, I'm not carrying a little god, but I got a big God that's carrying me. Amen. And then we come up to this story. The king's name is Ahab, the son of Omri. The Bible said in 16:31, he did evil in the sight of God. He married a woman named Jezebel. I want you to know something. You hear me out. A woman can either make you or break you. Somebody help me preach. I tell young preachers, you better make sure who you marry, because that woman may make you or break you. Because see, and I've seen a lot of them do that in their homes. I've witnessed it over the 42 years I've been pastoring. He walked in compromise. When he married Jezebel, he went from compromise to corruption. And they worshiped Baal. And Baal was a god of fertility. Baal was a god that would bring rain to the crops. and would open the wombs of the women, and they would have children. And they established Baal worship. But I'm glad there was a shift in this chapter. God raised up a man. Yeah. I got to tell you something. Ever going to be revival? It's going to be because God raises up a man. I'm talking about not a man that comes and stays a year or two. I'm talking not talking about a man that will go with the trend of the day. I'm talking about a real called man. This man was Elijah. He came out, he wasn't dressed like everybody else dresses. Didn't look like everybody else looked. By the way, can I give you what his name means? His name means my God Jehovah. He is him that sent me. Somebody help me preach. He was talking about the Supreme One. He was talking about the Sovereign One. He's talking about the self-existent one. He was talking about the Eternal One, the All-Powerful One, the Knowing One, the Never-Changing One. I want you to know something. You're looking at a preacher. I wasn't sent by man. I didn't come here 42 years because of man. I came here because God sent me. Help me preach. And by the way, I've seen revivals happen in this church. But I'll tell you, there'll be no revival and no happening unless it starts with a man with a burden that prays down the fire. I'll tell you what Elijah said to Ahab. In verse 1, I'm going somewhere. Y'all stay with me. I promise you I'm almost getting ready to preach. He said, it ain't going to rain. Wait a minute. Jeremy, he said, it ain't going to rain. That flew in the face of Baal. Because Baal was a fertility god. Ain't going to rain, Ahab. And then God, here's what God done. For 3 years, he took Elijah and hit him. He hit him. And then he shows back up in chapter 18, getting ready to have some rain. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what we need? We need God to send the rain. We need him to rain down on our stale, our dead worship, and that we'll get alive.
Amen, preacher.
I've prayed for the last 2 weeks about this message. God, send the fire. Send the fire right now. I got one of the greatest churches in America, but we still need fire.
Amen.
There's sometimes churches need fire. We need fire.
Amen.
Fire will drive away opposition, drive away the critics. We need fire.
Amen.
Holy Ghost fire.
Amen.
Not strange fire. The charismatics drum that up. And the contemporary. And by the way, I am neither.
Amen.
Good preaching, Reverend. I'm talking about real fire. These dark days, we need a people that has the fire of God on them. Now, I want to say this to you. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach strong now. Some people equate fire with enthusiasm. Well, there's a lot of bozos showing a lot of enthusiasm that don't have 1 ounce of God. Some people equate fire with energy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about enthusiasm, though you need it. I'm not talking about energy, though we need it. I'm talking about a real powerful move of God. I'm not talking about ball Christianity. Now you say, Preacher Smith, I'd like to have that in my marriage. I like to have it in my home. I like to have it in my life. I like to see it in our church. Well, I want you to know something. I'm going slow here. Now, here's what we came to. Here's what we come to. We got fast food religion. Snap your fingers, it's going to come. What I'm talking about is not going to come outside you begging God. You're going to find out that Baal's prophets prayed all day, broke the altar down, cut themselves, and then Elijah mocked them. You know how long his prayer was, Rich? 63 words. See, I'm not talking about something long. I'm talking about something that's effective. Somebody help me preach. Can I ask y'all a question? How many of y'all want fire in your life? Come on now. How many of you want fire in your life? Fire in your marriage? Fire in the church? Fire when you go to work? You want God's power. Ain't going to be a snap your finger, Lois. Some of you probably think, well, why do they come on Monday night to have prayer for a revival 2 weeks in a row at 7 o'clock? Because we believe it doesn't come by snapping your fingers. We believe it come by getting on our face to a thrice holy God. Now, I want to show you some things. Deacons, you want fire in our church? Preachers, you want fire in our church? Laymen, you want fire in the church? Here's what's got to happen. Look at verse 30, and I'll start. The Bible says this, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Number one, if we're going to have power, we've got to have holy reparations. The altar's got to be repaired. You say, I want fire. I want God's power. Now, let me ask you if you know what God's power means. Do you know what it means to get fire from God? It involves three things. Now, I'm going to ask you if you fit this. Number one, it involves God's approval. Come on. Come on now. Let me ask you something. Does God approve of you? Or are you known as the church gossip? Or the church critic? The one that always runs into trouble and knows everybody's business. God, I want you to know God ain't going to send no fire on no gossip, no bitter person, no angry person, no person that won't forgive. God ain't going to send no power in your life. He will not send power to anybody that he doesn't approve of. Won't you examine yourself? Are you the church busybody? Are you the person that goes to everybody's defense and you really don't never know what the truth is? Somebody help me preach. I tell you what we need. We need more church members that's concerned about God than what everybody else thinks. Oh, you know what else it says? Not only the fire speaks of approval, it speaks of agreement. God, I agree with you. I'm sinful. I agree with you. I need you. I agree with you that only your power is the only thing that's going to help my life. Amen. You know what I see? There's too many people. They're too concerned about their little clique he got. By the way, the worst thing that can happen to a church is to have little cliques. You know what John Smith does to little cliques? He blows them up. They ain't worth nothing. Have you got your little one that has your little group that says, I want to prove what the preacher does or the deacon does or this does? Ladies and gentlemen, we don't need your agreement. We need God's power. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost. Holy reparations, approval, agreement, and then an answer. You know what he done? He fixed the altar. It was broken down. Let me ask you, how many homes in this room your altar's broken down? How many churches in America that their churches are broken down? Contemporary movement has moved in. Calvinism's moved in. Deadness and lethargic attitudes are moving. God have mercy, we need the fire.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen. You're right, Pastor. I know there's some, now, listen to me. I know there's a lot of people have to move when church ends. They have to get out of here. But I want to tell you the best time to stay is when the invitation comes. How many believe we all need God? And this altar right here ain't just for sinners. It really is more for Christians. Am I preaching? Chad, I don't know if I'm going to get back on point one. When I'm talking about the altars broken down and repairing the altars, what do I really mean? Three things. I mean, first of all, sincere repentance. I gotta be honest with you. I know this is going to, Jeremy, it's going to go over like a lead balloon what I'm about ready to say. But I'm just going to say it anyway. I am tired of seeing people come around this altar and pray. And I want you to pray at the altar. And then leave and have no, they didn't come to get a change. They just come to comfort their wife or comfort their family or comfort somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, we need sincere repentance. I'll tell you why they come and get caught. A bunch of worldly sorrow. We don't need that anymore. If you got pornography in your life, you ought to be sorry about it. Got alcohol in your life, you ought to be sorry about it. Your marriage messed up, you ought to be sorry about it. Amen. We got a lot of people know how to play the game. By the way, just one guy was getting right with God. Whole nation was a mess. Am I preaching? Well, I'll tell you what I like to see. I like to see a bunch of people this morning say, you know what, I'm tired of my attitude. I'm tired of me letting other people run me all the time. I want God's approval.
Amen.
I want God's power. I want God's agreement. Instead of listening to all the gossip, why don't you listen to God for a change? Real sincere repentance. But then it follows up with spiritual restoration. It bothers me. We say we really got to fire, but we're as far away from God as we ever been. Well, it's quiet in here. You need some spiritual restoration. You need to get into God and say, God, I'm sorry. I haven't been connected. God, I've been wicked. My life's a mess. I need you to restore me.
Amen.
Y'all still with me? Guess what, Chad? Only going to be one point. And then we see a statement resolution. The Bible said that Elijah came near. Let me ask you something. And I'll cover this more tonight. If the fire starts here, Brother Jeff, usually the last place I want to be is near. I want to be as far away if I can. But in God's economy, we need to get as close as we can. A statement resolution. He said, get them 12 stones that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. By the way, rich people need it. Poor people need it. Smart people need it. Restoration. Get them all back together. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to say something to you. I'm done. I'm going to say it quietly. No altar, no fire. No fire, no revival. No revival, no evangelism. No evangelism, the world's going to hell. Let me ask you something. I'm going to pull my chair over here. I'm going to be kind of quiet about it. I'm going to look at y'all. Then I'm coming over there. Let me ask you something. You people, I'm going to ask you. Are you looking for everybody else's approval? Oh, we have some people do it. Oh, something's happening in the church. Well, I better go see what Mr. and Mrs. Idiot thinks. I don't need your approval, Mr. and Mrs. Idiot. I need God's approval. Let's see if they agree with what's going on in the church. Ladies and gentlemen, you're in one of the greatest churches in America. Last year we had more saved than we ever had in the history of the church, more baptism. God's blessed more. Ladies and gentlemen, you're in a church that's on the move for God. Thank God for it. I want you to ask you a question. I'm just asking you a question. Over there, does God approve of you? Does he approve your attitude? Does he approve your actions? Can you be assured that he can lay his hand of approval and put the fire on you because he approves of you and you agree with him and he answers you? I won't tell you why. How you can know you really got to fire? When's the last time you got an answer? When's the last time he just answered by fire and did a demonstration in your life? Woo! And I know I'm not even near getting this message. But you know what? I'm not even worried about my homiletics this morning. Or my hermeneutics. Or how well I did an exegesis of this passage. I'll tell you what I want to see. I want to see one marriage want to get right with God. I want to see one teenager that says, I want to be different. I want to see one grandpa, one marriage that say, I want God. Yeah. I wonder how many of you got boldness enough to come around this altar. Say, God, send the fire. I'm willing to rebuild my altar. I want revival. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. People are coming up to pray. You ought to come without me having to extend this altar call to you. That's right. Come on. That's right. Fill the altar without the preacher begging you. Are you the gossip in the church? Are you the busybody? Are you the person that takes everybody's side except God's? This altar is filling up. You ought to come too. How many know you're saved? Raise your hand. Thank you. How many is not sure you're saved? Raise your hand. If you're not sure you're saved, but you want to be saved. Folks are still coming. Stand with me. I'm not going to prod you about the invitation. Just want to ask you, do you need fire? Do you need revival? Do you need God's touch in your marriage, in your life? Do you need it? Get up here to the altar right now. Father, God, help us. Help those, God, are here this morning that have drifted away. Those that you don't approve of the way they are anymore. You and them don't agree anymore. And they're not getting any answers anymore. God, touch us. Help them want to come back and be hungry tonight to hear more. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bring your family up. Folks ought to be up here. This altar's full, but you're not here. Come on. Needs to start it with you. Needs to start with you.
Lord, send a revival and let it begin in me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
A revival, Lord, send a revival, Lord, send a revival, and let it be.
I'll finish and I'm gonna pray. I had somebody come to my office this week whose altars were broken down, Jeff, who about everything in their lives ready to go down the tubes. And I was preparing this message the last 2 weeks, church, and please be here tonight because I'll get more into how you get to fire. And this person looked at me and, not knowing what I preach, made a statement, I believe the fire is going out in me and my husband. Preacher, I need something. And right there in my office, and they're here this morning. I'm not going to say who it is, but they're smiling at me. They got right with God. They went home and witnessed to their spouse and had prayer with their children. And said, it's me. I need revival. Rich, we'll never have it as long as we will say this statement. Wonder who he is preaching to this morning. Wonder who he is preaching to this morning. Me. Me. I want it. I've never wanted anything more. So tonight, I'm preaching on the fire of God. Wednesday night, the fire of God. I don't even know if I'll get done. I only got one point. Do you want it? Do you want it? Do y'all want it? Do y'all want it? Tina, you want it? How many want it? Go home and pray for your preacher today. Oh, I know the kind of preaching I preached this morning. Going to rub some people. They're going to go home and say, did you tell him when I see it? I wonder if that person told him when I see it. Yes, they did. our family needs. That little baby yours. God bless her. Father, dismiss us. May everybody in this room be hungry tonight. Coming back saying, I need God. I need God. I need a fresh touch. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. God bless you.